Vanderjam.
Gas chamber? Biking in D.C. Now that's capital punishment. Good morning! It's the Vander Jam. As always, it's me, Mayor Howard Vander, and as always, you can find me living over on Twitter at Vander_IAM. Coming to you with a fairly short turnaround, certainly fairly short compared to recent output. We are back with a new episode, and yes, before everyone turns off, I actually have a guest this time. And not just any guest. Longtime followers of the mayor will know that she is my timeline-specific wife. I am sitting here with Sarah, who can be found at Sarah_asabit. And be warned, she probably won't follow you back, fellas. She's a cold customer, a heartbreaker in heels. She's ready to slay and grind you under her wheels. This is why I need to script out my intros before I start talking. Anywho, Sarah is a person that I've known for quite some time, and we decide to sit down and, well, I guess we were originally just planning to flirt and make wet kissy noises into the microphone. Then the dog showed up, and then her kids showed up, and then we started talking about topics as varied as education policy, what's wrong with contemporary cis masculinity, and I absolutely stump her when I challenge her to give us a regionalism. It's a lot of fun, and, you know, we can also scratch one off the Vander Jam accent representation bucket list. So, maybe it's a bit more freeform than normal, but I had an absolute blast, and not just because I got to confidently announce to a child that I am not strictly heterosexual. Tune in, you'll see it's less creepy than it sounds. Obviously, I think it goes without saying that anyone about to tune in should head on over and mash follow on Sarah's account. And a major thanks to her, not just for coming on the show, but for putting up with me and my ilk. Lo, these many, 2.5 years now? I can't even remember. All that to say, it's a conversation that'll hopefully make you smile, make you think, and get in touch with your inner child, and failing that, the children that you have under your care and custody. Thank you to everyone for their continued support. If you would like to participate in any way, shape, or form, please go ahead and reach out, Vander_IAM, or IamHowardVander@gmail.com. Hope you enjoy the episode that follows, because I know I certainly did. And to all the honeys blowing up my mentions, don't worry, I'll be back with a new episode long before you even get the chance to miss me. All right, well, longtime listeners will know that Mayor Howard is a man who has lived many lives. There has only been one that he calls wife. That would be my guest tonight, who, well, why don't you step on up and introduce yourself, because you got this real knack for striking terror in the hearts of lesser men.
Oh, hey, hubby.
Oh, dear. Who am I speaking with
this
tonight?
Is Sarah Asabit.
Sarah, as a bit, and where can people find you on the wonderful dog pile in real time? That is Twitter.
Right, lesson plans while we do this. I just changed my name. It's Sarah_asabit on Twitter. I had to change
well
it.
Well worth following. I like it. So. And as with all things, I think, involving Twitter, there's a story there, but yeah, anybody who I think follows one of us probably follows the other. But for the uninitiated, somebody smashes follow on your account, what are they getting?
Just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly the best kind of account. Oh yeah, it's, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, half the time I don't mean
it. I personally will not. I lately have been following a new workout and philosophy regime. No cuss, no fuss diet. You eat whatever's in front of you, and you do not swear. You lose 30 pounds in a month.
Twitter.com.
Yes. I don't know. It life is an interesting place. Now, you can say whatever you want. I have had people make actionable threats against the government. You can say bullshit.
I'm sorry. Oh. My dog.
Halloween. It's a jump scare.
Cody, stop. Okay.
Dog is named Cody. Oh, there he is.
Hi, Kodama. This is Cody.
Cody.
In fact, and he's doing his fancy little dance that he does every night.
Now, is he a bad dog? Because then you could say he's a Diablo Cody.
No. Kodama, like in the Ghibli films.
Kodama. In the Ghibli films.
Yeah, the tree.
Walk us through that.
It's the tree spirits. Okay, so greyhounds are... Have you ever met one in person?
I never thought of myself as needing a dog, but yeah, I've seen a greyhound. I've ridden a greyhound.
You've ridden a greyhound?
Yeah, I mean, like the seat within the larger bus.
This is... I'm talking about the dog, and when they're standing there and you go to visit the shelter that rescues them, they kind of just stand there like ghosts, like little spirits. Oh. And so if you ever see a Ghibli film, the Kodama in which movie was it?
Princess Mononoke.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that's what it is.
Little egg-headed naked guy.
Yeah, and they shake their little heads and stuff. It just kind of reminded me of that. They're a little unnerving, but also a little bit like you want to be with them, you know?
I see. It's like how Spirited Away. I mean, that daikon spirit. Oh, he's a tough cookie, but I'd love to spend a weekend with him.
Yes.
Just hanging out, be like, hey, man, can I get you some chips? And he just sort of like stares straight ahead and then maybe gives you the side glance, and you're like, but what if nobody comes to our party?
Mm-hmm.
He just stares straight ahead, and then you're like, you're right, man.
Right.
Be cool about it. Don't worry. This guy's unflappable.
Well,
penguin wings.
That's what Cody is named after.
Okay. It's, no, I do not have pets. I'm not a pet guy, not because I dislike them, but because I love them too much, and I'm still heartbroken over Orville the cat running back to his freedom.
Yeah.
That was hard. That was very hard.
It's hard to put them down, but I don't really... I'm not saying I get over it, you know, but they're not... I'm not like... It doesn't stop me.
Now, do you find that you're the person who, do you anthropomorphize your pets in the sense that, like, you give them a personality?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, maybe that's why it's easier for you, because I'm totally like, oh, man, Simon, it's time for lunch, you know? Oh, look at you, I put a little bow tie on your collar.
Oh, no.
He's a gentleman.
Dog, sorry. He knows who his pack leader is, and he knows how to take care of him, and he's loved and all, but he's not a person.
Well, if you're not going to treat them like people, then what is the appeal for you as a dog owner?
I like animals. Animals are way better than humans.
Okay, how do you figure?
I mean, they're not doing the same shit we're doing every day, are they?
No, but like, if you don't see a dog winning a home run derby... You don't see an elephant hitting the game-winning homer for his little league team.
Have you seen greyhound racing?
Pigs can't use computers.
Okay, listen. They don't need to, though. They're just mostly innocent little creatures, you know? They do their thing, and then that's it. They're not...
I like them because they're pleasant, you know?
Yeah.
Same reason ducks are probably my favorite animal.
What?
They're never that upset about anything.
Ducks?
Yeah.
Look, I don't hate ducks.
They mate for life. They migrate. They have freedom of flight.
They're just really
kind of They just waddle everywhere. When they're mad, they waddle a little faster.
Ever been to a duck pond? Like, it's gross. They shit everywhere, and your kids are running up to it, trying to get into it, and you're like, here, just feed
them. So does any kind of animal. You ever been to a dog park?
Yeah, but it's disgusting. Yeah, I've been, no, I don't go to dog parks, no.
Well, so you love animals, but you don't treat them like people, and you don't associate with other people who have dogs.
People. No, I'm sorry.
What's your beef with people? Huh? People are pretty rad. They gave us the internet. They gave us computers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not a people person.
Not a people person. No. And that's why you came on an interview-based podcast program.
Well, I just kind of liked teasing you about it. I wasn't really going to...
Oh, so a year straight of every time that I announced a new episode, it being commented on with, And yet, I've never been on it. I'm like, it's a two-way street, ma'am, wife. You know, always chasing me with that rolling pin.
I just feel like the way you react to it, because I never know which way you're going to react to it. So I would just.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I never expected to actually.
It throws me in an existential spiral. I hate when women are mad at me.
No, I know. Well, I'm never mad at you, and I was never mad at you. And I never.
It triggers me because I have so many painful memories of women being mad at me.
Aw. Well.
It's my fault. I'm gifted.
Let's dig more into that, Howard.
Oh, man. Do we have to? Okay.
Yeah, we probably should. I mean.
All right. I feel like. Howard. Howard as relationship material. Well, let's see. I have BPD and I'm 36.
Oh my God, you're so old.
I know, right?
I'm only 34. It's just a spring.
34. You know, well, we also both have a cool bang sweep going on right now.
Yeah, mine's natural though. Is yours natural?
Well, in the sense that I didn't have it installed. I grew it and my hand went like that. So, yeah, I think that's natural.
I can't go
I don't use product.
No, I'm not using product either. This is my own.
Oh, naturel.
But it
and
has
she to wears it well.
Thanks.
You're welcome. What is your hair care routine? You a 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner?
No. No, and you shouldn't
so
either.
You like wasting money.
It is. Are you doing that? You're doing that, aren't you?
I'm not doing that.
You better not do that. Do use conditioner, though. It's good for you.
What is conditioner? I know what it is when it comes out of the bottle, but I don't actually know,
like
the
lotion,
purpose or even, composition.
Well, I don't know, but it's like lotion.
Like hair mayonnaise.
Lotion, I don't know.
What's it made out of?
Well, look, when you wash your hair with soap, you are washing all the oils out, too. It's not just the dirt and the skin and whatever. It's also the oils that are natural in your hair. Oh, and then the conditioner, I guess, is just like putting the oils back in.
Okay. It's, Oh, hey, take a look at this, an article. What does conditioner do, and do I need it? From a website called Hair Story.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
All right. It's not loading, so here's what Wikipedia says. Hair conditioner is a hair care cosmetic product used to improve the feel, texture, appearance, and manageability of hair. Its main purpose is to reduce friction between strands of hair to allow smoother brushing or combing, which might otherwise cause damage to the scalp.
Well, yeah, and then, but also if you got like a lady or a man friend or whatever, they don't want to put their hands in straw.
I beg to differ. What if you're like a country boy that moved to the big city and you're feeling homesick for the old Midwest?
I mean, go back Midwest then. I don't know. I don't want to
touch. That's not a solution here. Sarah, go back to the Midwest. No. You got to go back to the Midwest every time life throws you a challenge?
No.
Exactly. So why would you advocate that other stupid thing?
I would never go to the Midwest. Well, that's not true. I probably would at some point go to the Midwest. But
Midwest, that's your problematic wood?
In so many ways. But what were we talking about? Oh, I don't want to.
We were talking about hair care.
And it's going to break, and you know, you can't grab it for leverage. It's gross. You know what I'm saying?
How many situations do you need to grab somebody's hair for leverage? Sex, and then there's control. How often do you need to grab someone's hair to control them in a day, Sarah?
Depends on who you're with, I guess.
Oh my goodness. You lead a charmed life indeed. So what are you doing with your Saturday night, other than not at the multiplex seeing Bros?
I'm writing lesson plans.
Writing lesson plans? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, there's a lot that goes into preschool. It's not like, it's not just watching kids. It's
preschool? Wait, does that mean you're one of those woke mob educators that I keep hearing so much about?
Did you say woke mom? Woke mob. What'd you say?
I could have said both. This episode is now going to be a splinter reality. One timeline, I said woke mob.
Uh-huh.
The other timeline, I said woke mom.
Okay, fun.
In that timeline, Goldwater becomes president, and swingers clubs are known as swap meets.
Okay. So, back on what we were talking about, I guess.
You're a teacher.
I am a teacher. And so, with preschool, you really set the foundation for how a child is going to do for the rest of their life, basically, especially their educational life. And so children do better if they, if their social emotional education is taken care of first. So in preschool, you know, they're going to learn their ABCs, they're going to learn the 1, 2, 3s and all of that, especially later on. It's not the most important thing, though. The most important thing is to understand your emotions and be able to control them, and teaching, you know, social etiquette and stuff like that. So, but along the lines of all of that, you set it up so that they're also learning, you know. So like the next week, we're going to start with plants. And as the children are playing with, you know, learning around about plants and whatnot, they're going to be also conversing with each other and getting into fights. And that's a teachable moment. So that's basically what a preschool teacher does is, you know, you teach the science, you teach the numbers, you teach the letters, but you have to really teach the social emotional development.
That's interesting to hear, because framed in that way, you know, there's a sense where educators, we don't really think of them necessarily the same way that we think of like artists, or we think of other like humanities scholars, and certainly not philosophers, but framed in those terms, like that really is kind of more the role than a functionary of just imparting information, you know, imparting objective fact. As you said, I mean, simply by being alive in the world, one understands the basics of communicability on their own. So giving them like a framework to understand themselves emotionally and in relation to others. Like, yeah, that sounds like a good thing to start with.
Well, yeah, I mean, when they're as little as mine are, which is, you know, in my school, we start at 2.5 and go to 5.
Oh, wow.
Or, yeah, and that's it. Like, it's a very tiny school. But children that age, they're just kind of governed by their id. You know, they don't really have empathy yet. Some children do, but there are some that are lacking empathy, because I feel like empathy is more of a learned thing. You know, if you're not exercising it, and you're going to have a harder time and a longer time to develop it.
Well, yeah, it's like the classic thing with kids. It's like, this is my new coffee mug. Do you like it? They grab it, they throw it on the floor. And it's like, why did you do that? I don't know. There's no malice. There's no purpose beyond, I'm going to do this and see what happens.
Yeah, that's exactly all. And that's what preschool is. And you're set what you do instead of them grabbing, you know, dad's coffee mug and chucking it across the room. you know, we would give them a safe environment to explore those things. So that's what preschool is. It's a safe environment for them to chuck stuff, you know, like, we have one kid, I have one kid that wants to throw mulch. Every time we go outside, he wants to throw mulch. Well, that's mulch. Not, right?
Specifically mulch, any other kinds of dirt or soil-like substances.
Yeah, he, no, he likes
to... They call him JM, just mulch.
No. He likes to throw sand. I had to get rid of the sand in my sensory bin because he threw sand in one child's eye, and it was... It was so
classic, classic heel finish. Did he then schoolboy him for the 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, I mean, he threw it, and I had to tell him, like, you know, you can't do that. But the other kid, he had it so caked in his eye. Now, this child's 3 years old. I don't have an eye washing station. So we go downstairs and get the water fountain, and the child's just like, I need water in my eye. And he goes down there with me, and before I can even tell him how to do it, he just turns it on and shoves his face into it and washes the himself.
Oh, man. Kids are troopers. I was hanging with my niece.
Lucky, because I thought I was going to have to hold this child down and, like, force him to wash his eye, like, in this very traumatic moment for him. But
it's weird because, my niece is a very sensitive child, but at the same time, like, you know, she's the kind of girl where, like, I remember her stepping on, like, a swollen patch of ground after rain and then deciding and becoming terrified because she was standing on a skunk nest. And I'm like, those are not a thing. But at the same time, she had a loose tooth. And my cousin was like, when I pick her up, can you try and help her work on her tooth? And, you know, I was just like, I was making her breakfast the one morning, being like, hey, can you work on your tooth? Maybe a little bit, and I'll take you to the movies or something. She just reaches up and pulls it out and says, got it.
There you go.
I'm like,
time to go to the movie.
Okay. Jesus Christ, this child is a commando.
What you got, baby?
I saw someone with says.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you broke it. All right, go play.
I can fix it.
Okay, go fix it. Go on.
Bye.
Bye. But yeah.
Take care, little dude.
So he likes to throw things, but in a safe environment, you can give him things to throw to get that need of that exploration out of his body.
Okay. It's I mean, like, in certain areas, like, where their survival needs are met, like, people open up, like, you can rent out a room that's full of, like, just glass bottles and stuff you can break, and it's like, I mean, there's also something very cathartic in the act itself.
I've
thought about punching the old hole in the drywall, but then I always think about Adam Driver, like, doing it, and I'm like, I don't ever want to be in a situation where, I'm replicating a marriage story. How about yourself? You ever, you got yourself like a basement room full of stuff you can break?
Me? No. I live in an apartment.
Yeah, me too. The sad part is it's just nice enough that it doesn't have like an abandoned unit where you can do that.
Let's explore that marriage a little bit more, Howard. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, explore how, like, go on adventures in a dark and forbidden jungle temple.
Dark Vanderjam.
Dark Vanderjam. So it would be the evil version or one where we only record at night. Or is it Vanderjam for an urban audience?
No.
Okay.
Say trigger warning Vanderjam, and let's get
okay.
Let's see some tears.
Vander after dark.
Yes.
You know. Okay.
Well, not yet.
It's really more like the Dick Cavett show, just chain smoking and like it's just like lounge music playing. So I was talking to my good friend.
It's almost this on.
I'm sorry.
Well, I can't.
Oh, don't be sorry.
It's a costume change right now.
Yo, Uncle Howard says what's up.
I'm just seeing.
Yeah, there's a dog and a child and
Sarah. Does that look like?
That's what he looks like.
Exactly.
I have COVID.
No, you don't have COVID anymore, sweetie.
Oh, my God. Oh, oh wow. Well, you're taking it in stride. The mayor is proud of you.
Who? What?
I'm just saying. I'm humoring the child.
Oh, I couldn't hear you.
Okay, that's all right. I think your children are probably a bigger priority than college.
No, they're okay. I'm used to it. I do this all day. Go ahead. Go play.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you find on Twitter, because there are some people that are anti-natalist to the point where it almost seems to become like a singular fixation of their politics. And I'm like, as a matter of personal choice, I get that, but as like an ideological position, I don't. Have you ever encountered that kind of person?
I mean, I try to ignore them, to be honest.
Yeah,
I just feel like you can't be so cut and dry on every single issue. It's, you know, people are, humans are humans, you know. If they're going to be so cut and dry on stuff, I don't think there's someone who would see eye to eye with me on things.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, not to say that people always get harped on because they deserve it or because they're out looking for trouble, but like, it does seem like there's something to be said for cultivating your own digital spaces. And like, you and I, like, there's plenty of people that we disagree with online. But it's like, I'm not going to make it a point to seek those spaces or the issues where that kind of person emerges.
Exactly.
Because why would I want to choose to argue with people instead of literally doing anything else with my life?
Right. I mean, Twitter is just there to have, you know, I just use it to shitpost mostly. I mean, half the stuff that comes out of my mouth, if it's cut and dry, I don't actually mean it. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the right way to do it because,
I'm screaming into the void, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be taken seriously. And I'm not going to spend my time, you know, talking to people who take it so seriously.
Well, yeah, it's like, unless you're making money off of it, I dislike people that approach it completely frivolously, because that's what leads to, like, you know, Pepe memes and stuff. But I'm equally wary of people who approach it with a certain level of almost sanctimony, like, my duty as the poster is to catalog all the bad things Trump has done.
Right.
Whereas, I guess in that respect, the Vanderjam tries to replicate Twitter because you come on, do whatever, and everyone keeps it mellow. I just plugged in my Volca sample. I'm gonna lay down some breakbeats while you talk about the woes facing our public education system.
Oh, God, no, please. Please don't.
Oh, sorry, here comes the beat.
Oh, God. Sorry, I'm completely distracted by this amazing beat.
It is pretty amazing, isn't it? Yes, the Korg Volca sample 2. In a small form factor.
Okay.
No,
yep, keep
going. I have this thing where I'm trying to just plug Korg voluntarily so then they'll give me some gear because I can't afford it.
I don't know what I would say about the public education stuff. I just, I was just thinking the other day about how at the beginning of the pandemic, there were so many people that would just come, and if they heard I was a preschool teacher or something like that, they would actually say, thank you for your service. And it felt so weird to hear that. And then, you know, now that we're well into this pandemic, it's now mostly what, endemic or whatever, it's more like, it's turned. I feel like more people are just kind of pissed at teachers than, you know.
Well, it also seems that the anger is also owing to a shift of, I guess, maybe the reasons why people are discussing public education at the beginning of the pandemic, like the whole reason whenever people were talking about teachers, it wasn't so much education policy as much as safety policy and the fact that they're frontline workers in a pandemic. Whereas now, when the subject of education is brought up, people are more talking about, you know, sort of bias and indoctrination from various educational institutions. And whether it's because, you know,
all of those three.
Grade ones are brainwashing your kids into accepting gender models, or whether it's Yale suddenly having to play defensive because some FedSoc federal judges are like, oh, I'm not hiring those woke Yale graduates anymore. And it's like, funny what changes in 3 years.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely brainwashing all of my kids, you know. I'm reading them the Pout Pout Fish, and I'm reading them, you know, the Rainbow Fish. And really all of the fish.
What's the Pout Pout Fish?
The Pout Pout Fish.
Pout Pout, okay.
I don't have it on me right now, but the Pout Pout Fish is a fish who has a pout naturally. It's resting pout face. So he thinks that he can't be happy, and the children love it, and I act it out for them, and then they love the Pout Pout Fish, and in the end he becomes the Kiss Kiss Fish because
that's so cute.
Yeah, so all the other fishes are telling him just be happy, but he's not really happy until he feels love, and then he becomes kind of like, oh, I don't have to be a Pout Pout Fish. You know, I can be a Kiss Kiss Fish and spread.
Oh, my God. I wish I had read that book as a kid, because that's honestly like 90% of the personal revelations I've been having about myself lately.
Yeah.
And so I guess you've already proven what you opened with, which is there is a value and indeed a need for emotionally coaching kids when they're young.
I mean, okay.
These days I'm a Kiss Kiss Fish, though, and everybody wins.
No, look at the adults. Like, look at boomers. Look at us. We weren't really raised to acknowledge emotion and stuff like that. School was more rote memory. We, you know, it wasn't exploration and finding it on your own and making connections with it into the real world. School was different from the real world, right? Oh, well, when you get into the real world, this is what's going to be like, right? And
yes.
And now look at us trying to cope.
Well, have you, I think I mentioned it on previous shows. We may have talked about it on Twitter, but there's a book called The Philosophy of Play by, I think it's Wendy Russell. Have you ever heard of that?
I think so. Maybe it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's an academic book, but like it's not impenetrable. Like it's written in a way that it isn't gatekept or anything. Basically what the book is recognizing that like play is a distinct category. It is different from work. It is different from a game, you know, like the play is the idea of like bouncing a tennis ball against a wall, or a bunch of kids play acting in an open field, or playing floor is lava, right? It's, or, you know, just sort of like delving into imaginative spaces, because it's different from creating art or anything that produces an outcome. It's not rule driven or outcome based the same way that games are. You know, it's sort of a shared notion of ambitious or ambiguous, like, dynamism. It's a space where things can just be and transform as needed. And what the book is sort of, like, exploring that as a concept and as, like, a necessary mode of human behavior. And like that being a register where so much like emotive and sensorial and like philosophical learning actually comes from.
Absolutely.
And yeah, like, so the idea of play is somewhat analogous to how I look at Twitter, where like, okay,
It's ephemeral. It's not something you can hold in your hand, but it's more than nothing.
Right.
Play has a value.
Sure. No, absolutely. I mean, if you can make these connections and like real world connections, you're the children especially, but you're able to retain the things that you learn. So, I mean, in school, my school, I mean, that's all we do all day. Yeah, we're playing all day, but it's not just play. Like, oh, I wish I could play with kids all day. No, it's not like that. You really have to, there's a science to it. Like, you really have to engage the children in certain types of play so that they can learn and they can make those connections and retain the things that they learn. Like, rote memory doesn't work. And, you know, I feel like in just being in the moment is what really is what you learn the most. Play is just really important. Well,
and what you mentioned there is also important, that like, even though play is amorphous, there are certainly different like modes of inducing that or encouraging it, right? Because a video game does not do the same things for like emotive or even motor development as you know, painting a mural with six kids or something like that.
Right. Yeah. They actually just did that last week.
Oh, right on. Sponsored the arts. Truly a liberal. but I mean, that's sort of, I think the problem is when we politicize education, and even without politicizing it, like, as long as I can remember being like media aware, news media has always been running stories about what's happening in high schools, what's happening in elementary schools. Right, right. Kids are losing their way for various reasons.
Hold on, Howard, hold on.
What? And
can you see my face?
I can see your face. Your eyes are closed, mine are open. So I can see you, but you cannot see me.
My eye is open.
What?
I can't see you.
All right, you need to be in there while I'm doing this, okay?
Hi.
Hi. Uncle Howard says, welcome to the Vander Jam. Would you like to see my Korg brand Volca sample too?
No, just...
My antenna is out, so you have to be out
there. It's totally fine. We're kid-friendly. Much like the intuitivity and tactile simplicity of the Korg sample too.
He's gone.
That's really, it's a curse. Kids love me because I'm just that awesome.
Is that it? They love you. It wasn't because, you know, I'm the mom and I'm right here.
I think it's a mix of both, but I think it's mostly what I said.
Oh, it's mostly you. Okay.
It's a confidence thing. Fake it till you make it. I'm like, that way, also I'm selective in people's lives. So whenever Unky Howard comes to visit, it's a wonderful treat.
Do they have to?
Why, I bet this time next week, your children will be saying, Mom, I miss that Uncle Mayor Howard. I miss him dearly.
I don't know. I was listening to your podcast in my car today just to see what it would be like. I'm a big fan, okay? It's not that I don't want to listen. I really do. I just have so much on my plate.
I do not expect people to listen to the Vander Jam.
No, I like it, and people should listen to it. It's fun to, you know.
Well, thank you. That's cool. But people are always like, before they come on, it's like, I haven't really listened to it. I know you have a lot of episodes, and I haven't really caught up. I'm like, there's nothing to catch up on.
No, it's fun. I like listening.
Part of the joke is I drop, like, long-running narratives in between, but it's mostly for my own entertainment.
Yeah.
People drop in and drop out. It's like a party house where everybody just drops in at a different point on the weekend. They all mainline some horse and go on with their day.
Okay. I do like it. It's just that I'm never really alone. I got two kids and the last time. I was listening to it. You and Billy were going back and forth about...
Why would you listen to one of the ones with Billy with your kids? Sarah, come on.
Well, okay. They've heard Billy.
I don't listen to the ones with Billy because they squick me out.
Okay, yeah. I mean... Okay. I thought it would be okay.
Thought it would be okay. You thought it would be okay.
I thought it would be
Howard Vander and your pal Billy are gonna talk unedited into a live microphone for an hour.
I'm an idiot, right? So I'm driving up the driveway and suddenly you and Billy are talking about respecting women in the bed with eye to eye, like eyeball to eyeball contact. And my dad is outside as I drive up the driveway. And he doesn't know it's Billy, so that's good. And anyway.
And you're like, this is the guy I'm talking to this evening?
No, but they turned around like they could hear what was being said in my car. No. And I had to get out and ask them. And then they asked me, like, well, what were you listening to that was so weird? And I just had to tell them that it was just, things just got weird and I had to turn it off. And I'm just really glad you didn't hear it.
But that is such a bizarre story.
I know. I panicked.
I don't even know why you're telling me this, like, because as a proactive apology.
I wanted you to know, like, I was listening to it so that I could get an idea of what this would be like. And I chose the episode.
Yeah. So really, Sarah, what you're telling me is that, by the way, Howard, normal people hear what you're saying and shake their heads in disgust. That's a great apology.
It's not that. But anyway, I had to explain to my kids.
Oh, God.
Because they're like, Mom, what is this? And I'm going, oh, it's just... a couple of weirdos. I'm going to turn it off now.
I am probably going to call this episode, You Played It for Your Kids.
I wasn't expecting it to be that way. And
yeah.
Well,
story of my life. Am I right?
To another one with, I don't remember who it was, but I guess he was a musician of some sort. And that was okay.
Jesse, probably.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. It was okay. It was fine. There wasn't anything going on. And then I was playing it, and then you mentioned that Billy was coming on. I was like, oh, I should probably listen to that, because Billy was like, hey, I was on a podcast. And I was like, oh, I should listen to that, and, you know, as your long-distance girlfriend. Like, I should be listening to these things, right? And I didn't want to be like, yeah, I've never heard that one before. Sorry, honey. You know, like, trying to be supportive here. I was like, two birds,
Billy
one.
Billy has been on the JM, I think, four times now.
Cool.
Every single time it's been because he literally does not stop coming to my house.
That's what I hear, and I'm very sorry.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
Over him. But I really
better than not having content.
I really hope you two hit it off really well for my benefit.
Yes, I will try to keep the peace. I'm very good at play.
No, I meant in a different way, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I mean making eye contact.
I mean making eye contact.
Like the way you do business. I also like the way that you make eye contact when we're having sex. And that's why I respect women.
Uh-huh.
Sarah, what's your stance on women? Respect them or neglect them?
Fear them.
Fear them. Why do you want us to fear women?
Because it's time. Like, y'all annoy the shit out of me. You wouldn't believe the thing that I just... So this guy that I was talking to was real funny, and we were just having a good old time. And
did he have a podcast that you played for your children?
No, he's not as good as you, Howard.
Aw.
but he ended up hitting on me in a DM, and I told him, you know, let's just forget this, right? And because you're fun, you know, to talk to, let's just forget this happened. And then he come back a few hours later with whether he was going to get to still see my tits before and after my reduction. And all I could think was, well, another one where you were just really nice and really
kind of buried the lead here. So not only do you have guys hitting on you, you have guys DM sliding you, and you're also getting a reduction.
Oh, you
congrats. You're about to unlock a whole new tier of not back pain.
They're kind of big. But
well, good job. I'm proud of you.
You're welcome, Howard. I was doing that to see how you'd react. And that's
well done.
How I thought you would. But it's a shirt. It's okay. But anyway, I ended up I'm done with defending myself. People like you who have never hit on me in, you know, a really creepy way or at all, really. And then people like Billy who never really hit on me until it was okay. Things like that. Like, y'all are the ones that got to take care of the men. I'm done with it. I'm sick of
that. That's fair.
Okay.
I do like yelling at young people.
Okay, great. Because what I ended up doing was taking a screenshot and making a group chat of me, him, and Billy. And then I thought I'd maybe like start tagging the good men, you know, the ones that are like not all men or whatever. I know it's not all men, but y'all need to start handling this for us because this is not our problem. Y'all have made it our problem.
Well, yeah, no, I think that's a very fair point. And so it's put in many different ways as a slogan, but the idea is that groups that suffer indignities and, I guess, a lack of respect in various institutionalized, personal, and systematic ways over time, they are not the ones who bear the onus for coming up with solutions, right?
And I mean, y'all should just get in there. I'll just start bringing you into the group chat, too. I'm tired of publicly humiliating them. I would like for someone, not me, particularly someone with a dick that identifies as a man, just handle it. Or a woman. I don't know. I don't care. Particularly people with dicks, though.
Okay, so if you have a dick and you want to learn some, some young tiger who wants his do the thinking.
You know, I just want cis hetero men who started this to handle this. What do you want?
This guy is gonna fall when he's holding on to this.
Wow.
Because this is on and this guy said the T-Rex was breakout.
Okay.
And then we can do that and look, it can stand on it and it falls down.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're so creative, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah.
You should be.
I built it all alone.
You built it all alone. That's amazing. Howard, would you
Independence is a wonderful skill.
He built that on his own.
Nice work, little man. I can't build anything.
You can build not anything?
I can work with my voice. I'm Uncle Howard. I'm also not heterosexual.
He walked away from you.
That's okay.
He was here for me this time, okay?
That's all right. It was a learning moment. Now that young boy is going to grow up knowing that a golden-throated man wearing a mustard-colored sweater can still make it in this world by respecting women. Mm-hmm. And the first step, eye contact.
I saw you coming with that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, without eye contact, it's harder to see them coming. Am I right, folks?
Wow.
So, being a woman on the internet,
mm-hmm. So
I'm going to infer from the fact that you are now issuing a clarion call for cis-hetero men to start policing themselves proactively.
Well, look, I made a tweet about that.
That you get hit on the internet a lot.
Well, yeah, of course.
How many times in a day would you say a man hits on you on the internet?
I don't know. I've only got, how many followers do I have nowadays? I have almost 2,000. I've got 1,800 followers, so I don't know. Not a lot.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a follower. It's often a complete stranger.
At least once a day. At least.
Okay. I can see why that would get tiresome.
It's very
it's the
trickery. Okay,
go on.
Yeah. Okay. So, like,
men, listen up, because this is how a woman feels. And I'll stop interrupting.
Start
her.
Respecting me. Okay. So, it's when the thing that bothers me the most is when they act like they're just being chummy and, you know, we're just having a good old time. And then they slide into your DM because for whatever reason, they think that the only reason, like, you would only talk to them if you want to show them your tits. Okay. Does that make sense? Like, it's just, it's like, I just want to
see why men would think that. I do not, because I rely on the strength of my posting and my one-of-a-kind creative output, as well as my winning disposition.
Look, yes, and that's, and what I really like about you, and I like about, there's a person, Owen, who, he, and you, he, Billy, you know, there's a few of them, Taco, you know, they've never hit on me.
And they can hold them.
They just treat me like a human being.
I also don't want to live in a world where treating, like, not being a creep towards women is something to be celebrated. The same way that I don't think people necessarily need to be valorized because, oh, yeah, you put in a 40-hour work week. Gold star.
Right. I just,
you know, wish I could think of a clever solution to this. Maybe I will before the end of this episode. Young men, maybe I wonder if you can actually track a rise in emboldened men hitting on people in awful ways with the decline in popularity of Nintendo 64, greatest console of all time.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, hear me out. When I was a kid, everybody had a Nintendo 64. You and the boys are playing GoldenEye all night on a Friday or whatever. You're not wolf whistling girls. You're not sliding into DMs. Instead, you're just arguing over what mods to play on four-player split screen, and everybody wins.
Okay.
They discontinued manufacture of the Nintendo 64. All of a sudden, like, okay, well, I can play GoldenEye if I get a ROM for it, which is illegal. And then you're playing it on a computer at home, not socializing with the boys, and in front of a computer. What are you going to do? Slide into DMs.
I just don't think that's it, Howard.
I think I just made a pretty reasonable case.
Really, no. I'm sorry.
Why do you disagree? No, where's the flaw?
That's it. Come on. You know why. It's just entitlement.
Yeah, but the entitlement accelerated alongside the decline in the Nintendo 64. I'm just saying, GoldenEye with your bros, four-player Mario Party, didn't matter if you were a man, a woman, an old person, TNTI baby, give them one of the chunky controllers. Everybody laughs and takes pictures.
How old were you when Nintendo 64 and Mario Party came out? You're about my age.
Let's see. I would have been a child. 10 years old.
Yeah, a child. So.
You say yourself that I have never slid into your DMs to hit on you or to ask to see your tits. So. Proof is in the pud.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to let you have this because we won't see eye to eye on this one. Okay.
I think we will the longer you ruminate on it. But that's okay because there's more important things than being right all the time.
So
speaking of being right all the time, what should we do with
I don't know national education policy? About, and you're going to just continue to talk over me?
Sorry, you cut out on the first part.
Oh, okay.
The floor is yours.
What are you chewing on, Howard?
That's a nicotine lozenge because I don't smoke in my apartment.
Oh.
Also, I like the taste. It goes well with coffee. It kind of tastes like an after eight. I call it chill waving.
Are you drinking decaf or caffeinated?
Caffeinated.
At almost 9 o'clock at night?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a problem?
You're 36. I mean, I don't know.
Caffeine doesn't hit me like it hits other people.
Still young at heart.
It's not because I have magic powers or anything. Because I am literally exhausted from the moment that I wake up and keep myself running via caffeine. That fuels my output. It's the whole reason you're listening to the Vander Jam right now, Daddy. I probably should have had breakfast and brunch. Got a hankering for cantaloupe, not gonna lie.
I love cantaloupe.
I do not, actually.
Honey,
I'm not a fan of melons.
You're not a fan of the melon?
Euphemism or the actual fruit.
You didn't like them? Damn.
I'm not really, okay, don't take it personally. I'm just, I'm not a guy that gets wowed by breasts, generally. Howard, like, me being a butt guy on Twitter, that is not a bit.
You're part
maybe
of my...
It's because maybe it's because they're unisex. I don't know.
You get to see them after. This guy does not.
Well, the point is that I also discovered a long time ago in university that if I play up my gay tendencies, then women sort of infer that they might be my first, and then they go wild on the dance floor.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Everybody thinks I'm gay.
I mean, I don't really think about it one way or the other.
Other than being my wife.
Hey, you do whatever you want. I'm still trying to get you and Billy together so that I can just sit on my chair there and observe.
I have a sky. I'm waiting till I can be 100% for eye contact. Your kids tomorrow are going to be like, Mom, why was that guy saying eye contact so much again?
They are not here.
Well, you say that, and then all of a sudden they show up out of the corner, much like a jump scare in a Halloween movie. Speaking of which, what's your take on scary movies this coming Spooktober?
I don't like watching the newer scary movies because they're very scary.
Okay. What about them is very scary in a modern film?
I think my... I'm a hyper-vigilant person, and okay, if I'm watching something scary and it kind of, you know, does that thing to your imagination, every little bump in, you know, I'm single, I live by myself, I got two kids to protect, and I would prefer to not be in a state of being scared.
Yeah. I learned to stop watching, like, horror compilation videos on my couch. Still,
oh my god, do you remember if you shit bricks?
To the bathroom.
Or if you see it, you'll shit bricks. Do you remember that?
No.
Or when you see it, you shit bricks. Okay, so back in...
Wait, like the old YouTube shock videos?
Like, no, not even YouTube. It was just, like, pictures. And I think it was early zeros, maybe, or maybe even the teens, but... There are pictures that looked normal, but then you would see like the ghoul or the goblin or whatever, the ghosty in the background because you're looking so intently so that when you do see it, it's kind of like your own little jump scare. Do you remember those? You don't remember those.
I don't remember those. I do remember that format, though, being used for shock videos. Where it'll be like, in this clip, you'll see the figure of a young boy materialize beside the car. Look very carefully at the rear wheels, and it's a car going down a mountain range. You're staring at this, like, a zombie face jumps up and screams, right?
I think that's for that. Like, maybe Bombs World era?
You're talking just still images that have something creepy in the background?
Yes, just still images.
Okay, so what would be an example of one? I'm trying to think of like one that would work as...
I remember this one specific one.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is. Because, you know, cameras then, they didn't pick up everything that, you know, they do now. But it's dark, and it's in like a basement kind of area. And you see just a dark figure with black eye and white eyes peering out from the side of something. But you don't really see it because of the way the camera was taken, and who even knows if it was real or not. Or maybe it could just have been, you know, like a shadow or something. I don't know. But it's that one particular that scared the crap out of me. So, okay. Anyway, scary movies. I don't like the newer ones. The older ones made
it. Do you want to try to hold us?
Thank you, buddy. Can you go back into the living room?
Well, this is a portal creature, and it makes this guy go on here so he can be a bad guy.
Okay. Can you go back in the living room? Big problem. Okay.
Mom, why is that going to be done now?
Soon. Okay.
I like this kid. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's something else. But anyway, like, I like the movies from the 70s and, you know, even
what older. What are the big ones for you?
Night of the Living Dead. I really like that one. You know, Halloween, you know, the ones that are the original. Yeah. The classics, staples,
right?
Yeah. Like, 'cause they're not scary, but they're clever. Does that make sense?
It does. Halloween, though, still scares the crap out of me.
That's
the score
really
helps. The scene where Michael is wearing the bed sheet. For some reason, that one always just gives me the creeps, and I hate going to the bathroom in the middle of the night when I'm thinking about that scene. It's always interesting because horror, again, is a very subjective thing, almost like play, where people say, like, either I don't like horror, which... you're dismissing a very broad and very diverse category out of hand. But also when people are like, man, I really like horror movies, it's like, well, it's more interesting people saying, like, okay, but these are like the strain that I like best. So I like home invasion ones because, you know, it's plausible that it could happen. That's why they scare me the most, right? We can often learn a lot about a person by knowing the things that... not so much that they're afraid of, but the fears that they feel safe confronting within a film frame.
Right.
There's this strain of thought in, like, film scholarship that says, like, part of the reason horror works is that we're externalizing our fears and then containing it. So horror cinema itself is kind of like a therapeutic relationship to the audience. But then all of a sudden you look at, I don't know, Hostel, and it's like that doesn't have nearly the same therapeutic impulse, and it also takes a heavier toll on the viewer, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't like watching home invasion movies because, you know, that could happen. I mean, someone tried to break into my apartment last year twice.
Huh? Is it the same person?
I don't know. I had a stalker.
I'm sorry.
I don't know who it was. Like, it was weird. They were leaving. I had to vacate the apartment with my kids, and I lived with my parents for like 6 months before I could move back in. I couldn't afford a security camera, so as soon as I could, I bought one and then moved back in. But yeah, they had left like flowers on my car one time, and there was a guy standing outside my window one time, just looking up at it and smoking a cigarette. And he looked startled when I was taking the dog out. He looked startled to see me there. And I was just like, oh, that was a weird interaction. And then someone tried to break in with some type of tool or something, which is dumb because you can kick in apartment doors really easily. So I don't know.
This gives me a great idea. I'm gonna see what my neighbors have for stuff.
But you know, it's unless they have one of those hotel locks. Hotel locks are really good. You know, the swinging one.
Bar lock. Yeah.
So I was putting my kids to bed, and I run a fan so that it blocks out noise. You know. And when I had gotten up, I went out to take the dog out. And then when I was coming back in, I saw marks on my door where someone had taken, it looked like a screwdriver or something, and was trying to pry it open. And I wasn't going to call the cops because I knew they're not going to do anything. it's not my first time someone's trying to get in the house, and I know how it goes. So I called my dad, and he was like, no, you need to call the cops, because if this is your ex, it has to be documented. And so I don't know who it was. Once I got the security camera, it never happened again. So it's somebody who knows I got a security camera, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's something also to be said for what they call the chill factor effect, which is even having an unplugged security camera, if people are confronted with even the possibility that they might be surveilled, they tend to coordinate their behavior as if they are. Right? People make the assumption where, how much do I want to risk that camera isn't actually working? Right. Most people don't take that risk, right? Unfortunately,
always working.
There's always some people who do, and you can only do so much to deter cis-hetero men from an idea, because in the end, they are probably the one variant of human society that's best at convincing themselves that they're in the right. So,
well, yeah, I don't even know if this person actually wanted to get in, because if you really want to get in, I mean, sliding glass doors are easy to get into. Home invasion is easy. You can just bust the door down. I mean, it's not hard to get into someone's house unless they have the proper security features, right?
Maybe that'll be the title of the episode. It's not hard to get into someone's house.
It's not. Well, I've got four locks on the door. I've got one of those kick things that you stick under the door. I mean, I've got the security camera. I've got more locks on the sliding door. Like, my house you can't really get into it now. But anyway, I can't remember what we were talking about before.
Yeah, where were we going before?
Door
locks and home invasion and men needing to correct their own behavior, because Jesus, I mean, it's irritating enough to have that one coworker that always is typical man in the office. That's very different than having your liberty and security threatened. So I'm sorry it had to come to those lengths, but I am happy that you've protected you and yours well enough so far that we finally have y'all in jail. And you know, exactly. It was all worth it, baby. That being said, Sarah, I'm gonna let you get back to your delightful progeny. Please thank them on the mayor's behalf. In the meantime, though, do you have the floor is yours. Once again, where can people find you on Twitter? Do you have anybody, any cause, any message to promote, plug, or otherwise spout?
I don't. Sorry.
That's okay. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, at Sarah with an H _ as a bit. All you might have to say that for them. My accent's a little heavy.
Sarah _ as a bit. Sarah.
Yeah. Yes, I'm still talking, sweetie.
The mayor just thinks your mom is the bee's knees. Don't you worry, though, because the queen will return to her drones. All right. Well, thank you for coming by, Sarah. It's nice to finally meet my wife. And yeah, just all the best until you're back on again. Do you have a beloved pearl of wisdom you would like to leave?
I really don't. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, on behalf of all of us here,
you told me it was I should, but I don't.
Well, as Mark Twain once said, never pick a fight with a man who buys beef in a barrel. And as I misremembered it once while drunk at a party, never buy beef from a man wearing a barrel.
Okay. Thank
Suspenders.
You.
Suspenders. Made sense at the time.
Okay.
They say impractical, and they say George Washington never lied, but that is impossible. you need is a stiff drink in the hospital, but I can only speak my mind, and I hope to find the place where I want to be. Stopping me, and I don't know about you, but I've seen the truth and know what I believe, and you'll see it too on the day that you see life through eyes of me when I